The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
And now, Sports Talk 1240.
Coming to you live from the WGBB studios in West Babylon, New York, this is Sports Talk 1240. Andrew Joseph here with you, going strong until 10 p.m. on this Sunday, September 14th evening, football Sunday in week two of the NFL. Brian Graves is on the other side of the glass, pushing all the right buttons this evening. The phone number is 631-888-8811. That's 631-888-8811. Feel free, I encourage you all to call in and to the show tonight. I am so excited to finally be back. It's been about a month since I've been behind the mic here on Sports Talk 1240 on WGBB. And I'm going to do something a little bit different tonight. For those of you that follow me and or Sports Talk 1240 on Twitter and Facebook, you should have some idea what I'm referring to. In honor of Derek Jeter's final weeks, I'm asking all callers to, when they call in to discuss, whether it's the Jets, Giants, or any other subject or topic they wish to discuss, that first they give me their top five favorite all-time New York athletes in honor of Derek Jeter. So then you can do that. And then if you don't have a subject or a topic to discuss, you could just call in. Feel free to just call in and give me your top five all-time favorite New York athletes. And also, at the end, I have mine written down, well, technically typed up here. But I'm not going to reveal it till the end of the program tonight. So around 9:55, I will reveal my top five all-time favorite New York athletes. And what I'm going to be doing tonight is I have a giveaway. It's currently in the process of being made right now by my buddy from college. We're getting a bunch of Sports Talk 1240 shirts to promote the station and the network. And I have a sample one that's on its way, and I'm ready to give it away. And so the contest is to be able to guess my top five, my list. And throughout the show, I'll be giving hints away, as callers call in and guess, I will tell you, I'll stop you when you say an incorrect player, and so to help the future callers out a little bit more. So, yeah, I have three hints throughout the program that I'll be giving out, one shortly, one in the middle, and then one towards the end to help you guys out. And whoever gets it first, you don't have to get in any, or it doesn't have to be in a certain order, you just have to get the five athletes. And if you do, you will win the Sports Talk 1240 shirt. And obviously, we'll just have to get you on hold, and you'll have to give us your contact information, but we will get that to you. So the number is 631-888-8811. And, you know, I was watching this Jet game. You know, already the Giants already lost, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to talk about the Giants' loss and how they blew a chance to be 1-1, a game that they should have won, a game that they had. And the Jets are playing well, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm actually going to go on the air and declare the Jets officially the best team in town, the best team at MetLife Stadium. And then they collapse. A 21-3 lead, and when they on the route to get that 21-3 lead, the Jets looked unbelievable. Geno was playing with poise, with confidence, hitting receivers left and right. The running game looked good. The play calling, Marty Mornaweg, who is going to be the subject of a lot of criticism tonight and in the next week leading up to the Monday night game against the Chicago Bears for the Jets. His play calling in the first quarter and for the most part the first half was terrific. I mean, I have not seen a Jets offense move the ball like they were moving in the first quarter and a half in so long. I can't even remember. I mean, I'm going back Jad Pennington days, maybe when they went to the AFC Conference Championship game with Vinny Testaverde. But this offense was looking terrific. And it all came crashing down. And I know, I've heard Jets fans, I'm a Jets fan, it's so frustrating to watch this happen tonight because a 21-3 lead became 21-9, and then the Packers give the Jets a gift. They try to kick an onside kick, And the Jets recovered. Salas goes up and gets it, a nice play. And the Jets then come back. Geno comes on the field. The Jets start driving down the field. And you're thinking, okay, the Jets can really, really finish this half strong, put more points on the board. They're already up 21-9 at this point. And then Geno gets hit as he throws, lofts one up, intercepted. And just like that, that play right there is when the game turned. It is that right there was the time when this game turned around for the Jets, and you know they had it. And even after that, the Packers come back with the ball at the 3-yard line, 97 yards for the score. Jets still go into halftime with the lead, but in the second half, the Jets. I was expecting the Jets to rebound, to respond to the end of the first half, and continue driving the football down the field. The Packers defense looked they just looked like they couldn't stop this Jets offense in the first half. And in the second half, that composure, that confidence that Geno had in the first half, it was gone. The running game against a Packers defense that just got ground and just got pounded by the Seahawks run game in week one, everybody thought that was a weakness that the Jets could exploit. And the Jets, Chris Johnson and Chris Ivory combined, I think it was just about 2.5 yards per carry only. Just a really poor performance from the New York Jets running game and the offense. In the second half, the Jets were just completely dominated as a whole team. And then it happens with Muhammad Wilkerson punching or taking a couple punches at a Packer, getting ejected, thrown out for the rest of the game. Not only is Muhammad Wilkerson the Jets' best defensive player, he's the best player on their team. Muhammad Wilkerson's their star, and that's not what you do to a team. I mean, the Jets need him, especially with their secondary getting lit up in the second half. They needed to put pressure on Aaron Rodgers, and Muhammad Wilkerson was nowhere to be found because he was in the locker room, because he had to punch, because he had to let his emotions get the best of him, and he had to punch the Packers in a scrum. And obviously, the big story of this game that everyone wants to talk about, and I'm going to get to right now, is this whole idea that Marty Morningweg called a timeout from the sideline on a 4th-and-8. Geno throws a deep down by 7, and Jeremy Curley jumps up in the end zone and makes the catch. And as a Jets fan, I'm excited. I'm like, oh, the Jets just tied this game. It's unbelievable. I can't believe it. As badly as they have played in the second half, they have tied the game. But then you find out the play was whistled dead. The Jets called a timeout. At first, you're thinking, okay, the Packers may have called a timeout. And then you find out the Jets called or were the ones to call a timeout. And you're just shaking your head. And I tweeted out right away, it was only the Jets. I mean, that is the perfect way to describe it. This is, and Jets fans feel this way, same old Jets. And you find out, Rex was saying, he said in the post-game press conference, he didn't call a timeout. Sheldon Richardson, in his post-game remarks, said that he saw Marty Morningweg trying to yell to Rex to call a timeout, so he called a timeout from the sideline. Now, the rule is, that, and everybody's saying, only the head coach can call the timeout from the sideline. Obviously, for the players on the field, it's not the case. The players on the field can. But from someone on the sideline, it can only be called by the head coach. Now, the rule is, and this is a really, really interesting rule, and I'm going to clarify it right now. So, per the NFL, only the head coach can call a timeout from the sideline. However, there is a small, somewhat arbitrary exception. A coordinator or assistant coach, or in some cases a player, can call a timeout if the snap is imminent, because the official doesn't have time to turn and check who is calling it. Now, imminent is up to the official's discretion to decide what exactly constitutes imminent. And I mean, I don't understand that, because a snap could be imminent with 20 seconds on the play clock. It could be imminent with 2 seconds on the play clock. That's a very strange rule, and the Jets got beat by it tonight. Interesting fact, though. I don't remember this happening. I'm sure Ravens fans and Patriots fans probably can recall. But when Rex Ryan was a defensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens, and they were playing the Patriots one game, it was like a fourth down, and I'm not sure, I have no idea the distance, but Rex Ryan was the coordinator. He called the timeout right before the snap, and the official granted him the timeout. The Ravens, the players didn't hear the players did not hear the whistle, and they went on with the play just like they did tonight in the Jets game. the Ravens got the stop, and they would have won the game. But the timeout was called by Rex Ryan and granted to the Ravens. The Patriots then, with their second chance on fourth down, converted, and they ended up going on to win the game. So it's kind of funny that Rex Ryan actually gets burned by this really unique, crazy situation. Obviously, different than back then. It's kind of ironic because he was the coordinator who called the timeout. But, yeah, so Rex has some bad luck with these timeouts at the end of game. So the Jets, they fall to the Packers 31-24. On the other hand, the New York Giants, a game that they had and they had control of, and the special teams let them down. Specifically, Demps misses a tackle and he fumbles on the ensuing kickoff return. Giants lose to the Cardinals 25-14. The Giants fall to 0-2. The Jets fall to 1-1. The difference is the Giants are at home against a team that is a very beatable team at home, a very winnable game. And watching this game, the Giants only scored 14 points, but the offense did some good things. The offense looked a lot better than it has in the last, than it looked in week one, and then it looked throughout the preseason and training camp. So that's a positive note for Giants fans. But this is a game they should have won. And here they stand at 0-2, and the schedule's not getting easier for them. Next up, they're home against Houston, who blew out the Oakland Raiders today. Then they're in Washington, who, yeah, RG3 got hurt, and you don't want anyone to get hurt. And from the Redskins' perspective, though, it's not crazy to think that they're a better team with Cousins than RG3. I mean, and Cousins came in and played wonderfully this afternoon. So that's a Thursday night game. So you got home against Houston next week at 1:00, followed by Thursday night at Washington. Two games, the way the Giants have played through the first two games, that you'd assume that they're going to lose. After the game, Jason Pierre-Paul said about whether to worry or to panic or with the status of the team. He said, "Trust me, we'll be all right. We'll come together." And then when he was asked what went wrong, JPP said, "I don't think it went wrong. I just feel like we kind of slacked off with what we were doing." I mean, whatever that means. Nothing went wrong. You just slacked off. But from the Giants' perspective, there are positives. The offense looked much better. I know they only scored 14 points. People are going to say that. How could they look better? They only scored 14 points. But they did. They did some good things. Some receivers dropped the ball. Victor Cruz had a couple drops. But overall, the offense looked a lot better. Eli Manning specifically looked much more comfortable in the offense, running that offense. So that's a good sign for the Giants. And minus the fumbles and the drops, I think if you're a Giants fan, considering how they lost, you got to be okay with it because the offense looked a lot better. Now losing this game is terrible, and they're 0-2 and they're in a hole now. 0-2 for the second season in a row, and the Giants have dug themselves a hole, but at least Eli looked a lot better. At least the offense overall looked a lot better. Clean up the turnovers, and the Giants could be okay going forward. Now, I saw one really telling quote that really says it all. It describes the game in a nutshell, and this is from Rashad Jennings after the game. He said, "Yes, we did some things well, but they are always overshadowed by the things we did not do well." And that says it all right there. And for the Giants, it was a chance for them to go 1-1, but at the same time, they showed improvement on offense. And we'll see where the season takes them from here. But it is at least in a terrible day of football for the Jets and Giants. Both teams have some positives to take. The Jets went into Lambeau Field, went out to a big lead. Geno showed he can do it. He just has to gain some consistency and play for 60 minutes, just like the entire Jets team right now. But the Jets showed that they can play with a great team, a great quarterback on the road. The Jets were within not calling a timeout of tying this game. And it just didn't end up working out. We're going to go to the phones right now. It's Jason from Ithaca. Jason, you're on Sports Talk 1240. How are you doing?
Good, Andrew. How are you?
I'm good. What's up, Jason? Oh, well, actually, sorry, Jason. Before you get to your point, do you have a top five all-time favorite New York athletes?
Uh, Yeah, I do. Derek Jeter.
Okay.
Mariano Rivera.
Okay.
Mark Messier.
Okay.
Carmelo Anthony.
All right.
And next one's a tough one.
Well, your first two, I would say, are going to be probably repeated a lot tonight with Jeter and Rivera. And I like the Messier one also. But anyway, yeah, do you have your fifth?
My fifth one, I'm going to have to pick Joe Namath.
Joe Namath, okay. All right, I mean, fair enough. That's a good one. Okay, now, the topic you want to get to tonight?
I wanted to talk about the Giants. So you said that the Giants shouldn't feel bad that they lost the game,
Jason, I'm sorry to stop. Sorry to cut you off, but I didn't mean that they shouldn't feel bad for the start of the game. To lose the game, they should have won this game, and they should feel bad. They're 0-2. It's a bad loss, but I was just saying from the bright side, there are positives to take out of it, unlike Week 1's game.
I would agree with that, but I would have to say that they were playing against the backup quarterback, and they couldn't even get it done. That's the part that worries me. Palmer was out with a shoulder injury, and Drew Stanton stepped in.
That's a good point.
And a bunch of miscues from the Giants, Andrew.
I mean, Jason, I agree. I mean, they faced a backup quarterback, and their defense, I mean, it looked okay. I mean, they lost 25-14, and you know, some of those points came out. I mean, off turnovers, and I mean, Jason, they're 0-2. They looked terrible in Week 1. They looked better today. The offense looked better. I mean, it's a game they should have won. And I guess you're right, though. I mean, and can they beat Houston right now? Can they beat? Can they win in Washington? Those two are two games. You're looking at the Giants possibly in really good danger of falling to 0-4.
I would have to agree. Based on what I've seen the last 2 weeks, I don't have much of a reason to be positive. You had played better there towards the second half, but I really don't feel good about the Giants, Andrew.
Jason, I understand. I completely feel your pain. And 0-2 is not a good start to the season, especially with the loss today. You know, last week you say, okay, you know, new system, playing in Detroit, you can understand it. It had all the makings for a loss. Today, this should have been a win. And, you know, I think we just have to wait and see. Maybe they'll bounce back next week and surprise us and win against the Texans. But, Jason, would you like to play the contest and make a guess?
I guess your favorite.
Yes, it doesn't have to be in any order, just guess the five.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with Jeter and Rivera again.
Okay, sorry. Your second one. You said Jeter,
yes.
And then you said Rivera. Your second one, Rivera, is wrong.
Oh.
Okay.
Worth the shot.
You know, Jason, I think that if it wasn't you, it was whoever was going to call next was going to say Rivera also, and it makes sense why you would say that. It just for me, something about it's not that I don't like Rivera. He's one of my favorite athletes. But for me, just the fact that he was a closer, just for some reason, that was a difference for me. But Jason, thank you for the call tonight.
Thank you, Andrew.
So yeah, so you know Jeter now. So for those of you that are waiting for hints and waiting for other people to falter, Well, you got one. You know it's not Rivera, and you know Jeter's one. So you know you got that. Now I will give you my first hint. It's actually kind of a double hint. And it's all five athletes have played for one of the New York teams in the 2000s, at least. But not necessarily only one of the New York teams. For those of you that are unaware, the teams I root for are the Yankees, Jets, Knicks, and Rangers. I go to Ben in Pennsylvania. You're on Sports Talk 1240, Ben.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, Ben. How are you?
Good. Can I shift gears for a second and probably go hockey?
You want to talk hockey? Yeah, I mean, what do you want to talk about hockey, though? The Rangers signed Ryan Malone recently.
Well, I'm seeing reports that they're naming McDonough the new captain.
Yes, it's not. I mean, I think the feeling has been that McDonough was going to be the name of the captain even ever since they lost in the Stanley Cup Finals last year. But none of those rumors and reports have come from the Rangers, so while I expect that to be true, we don't know for sure yet. But yeah, anyway, what's your take on that?
Oh, I don't know. I kind of wanted to see what your opinion was if they do go with McDonough passing up guys like Stahl or St. Louis, who's already a captain.
Yeah.
Well, do you think McDonough's too young, or?
Well, I mean, I think it's like a new, kind of a new wave in the NHL where young guys get the captaincies. I know Crosby was named captain when he was young. Drew was named the captain when he was young. And the thing about with St. Louis is he has 1 year left on his contract, so it doesn't really make much sense at his age to name him the captain. With Mark Stahl right now, he's in contract negotiations, so until you know that he's locked up, it wouldn't make sense to name him the captain. And I think McDonough kind of, as the year progressed, especially once Callahan was traded last year, kind of took over that leadership role. And I also think that not including Henrik Lundqvist, the goalie, but just in talking about skaters, McDonough's probably the most skilled all-around best skater on the Rangers team.
Yeah. See, if it were me, I see more often than not players who are named captain at a young age, it's more of a burden than it is a blessing. So I think St. Louis heading out in, you know, a year, two, or three, give him the captaincy for those couple of years, let McDonough kind of learn under him.
That makes
sense.
And
then pass it on to him when he's more seasoned, you know?
No, you could definitely do that. That's not a bad idea. I just don't know the St. Louis. I mean, you know, actually, I mean, I would assume he has. I mean, based on what happened in the playoffs last year with his mother and everything, it seems like he had a really big impact on the locker room. Maybe they will do that. I mean, that's actually not a bad idea, Ben.
I guess we'll find out soon. It's coming up pretty quick.
Yeah. I think the Rangers training camp starts September 26th or 8th, maybe. I'm not exactly sure. I know all NHL training camps are starting towards the end of this month.
Most rookie camps have started this week or last week.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've actually been noticing some scores and some games. I've been following it a little bit on Twitter. But, Ben, do you have a top five? I know you're calling from Pennsylvania.
Have a top five. Thank you for asking.
Okay.
My top five goes Daniel Carcillo, Donald Brashear, Eric Lindros, Aaron Ashram, and Jaromír Jágr.
I see what you did there.
Well, this is my top five. I think they're the greatest New York athletes of all time.
It's calling from Pennsylvania, and it seems like all five of those New York athletes have one thing in common, the fact that they played in Philly at one point.
You know what? I think they did. I think you're right.
That's really interesting. Anyway, okay, well, thank you. Do you want to play the contest?
Do I guess right now?
Yeah.
Jeter?
Yeah.
Oh. You know what? No, I have no clue.
All right, you lose.
I'll pass it off. Maybe I'll call later.
You have one right. You do have one right, I can tell you that. All right, Ben, thank you for the call.
Jeter, Brashear, Lindros, Ashman.
All right, thank you for the call.
All right, have a good one.
You too. So, that's always a funny call. But NHL, I was not prepared to talk NHL tonight. But, you know, the thing about hockey fans is, they love their sport, absolutely love their sport, and you got to give it to them. No matter what the time of the year is, no matter what's going on in football, baseball, they don't care. When you're talking about baseball fans or football fans or basketball fans, they usually have other sports. But there's a good portion of hockey fans that only have hockey, and it's on their mind 24/7. 365, and I guess Ben is one of those hockey fans. You always enjoy that. But getting back right now to the Jets. And Marty Mornhinweg tonight. So Sheldon Richardson says that he called the timeout. Whatever. I mean, at this, to be honest, like if for Jets fans, I'm telling you, don't waste your time thinking about this, stressing over it, because even if the Jets get that touchdown, I mean, there's a good chance they lose this game. There really is. And other than that, that's not even the point. The main point that the main problem is they had a 21-3 lead in this game. It should not have gotten to that point. You're down by 7 there. Muhammad Wilkerson should have kept this cool. He should not have been thrown out the game. Geno Smith and the offense couldn't muster up anything. For some time, it seemed like they just couldn't move the ball. After moving the ball up and down the field so easily in the first half, they couldn't do it at all in the second half. And after that timeout was called, they came back and converted the fourth down play anyway for the first down. So, yes, they didn't get the touchdown, but they still at least converted and still maintained possession. But, I mean, you know, I mean, that's the breaks. I mean, it just, it's unfortunate, but that's just how it works sometimes. I forgot to mention earlier that joining me on the other side of the 9:30 break will be from RantSports.com's New York Jets reporter Luis Torrado Jr. He'll chat about the Jets, the NFL, the NFL's image, the PR disaster, which I'm not going to really get into with the whole Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson debacle outside of chatting with Luis Torrado Jr. from Rant Sports. It's only an hour show, so I'll touch on it with him. But other than that, I'm going to stay clear of that. I know a lot of people are tired of talking about this and hearing about it, but it is a big problem in the NFL. And we'll talk about it all with Luis when he joins after the 9:30 break. I forgot about my live read here. I want to take this time to tell you about Challenger 2, the e-commerce site that takes care of your check cashing needs and provides additional services including money transfers, utility bill pay. Not only is Challenger 2 a reliable service, but they are efficient. Think of all the time and money you can save by simply utilizing this site. As an e-commerce site, you no longer have to wait on hold for hours. Instead, you're only a few clicks away from solving all of your check cashing, money transfers, and utility bay problems. You can learn more about Challenger 2 at kcashing.com. We'll break here. You're listening to Sports Talk 1240 on WGBB.
Sports Radio New York and AM 1240 WGBB are proud to announce the new Sports Talk 1240, along with the launch of a brand new website at sportstalk1240.com. Check out our new site for information about upcoming shows, as well as easy access to past shows, articles, our live studio webcam, and more. Of course, be sure to tune in to Sports Talk 1240 every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 1240 WGBB, or visit sportstalk1240.com for ways to listen to the live broadcast online or from your iPhone. We're excited about these new changes and hope you will be too.
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan, or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out, or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you could find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA, or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240. Check us out every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on AM 1240 WGBB. And visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip chain, use mass transit, rideshare, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York, breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
And now, back to Sports Talk 1240.
Welcome back to Sports Talk 1240 here on WGBB in West Babylon, New York. I'm Andrew Joseph, going strong until 10 tonight. Sunday, in which both the New York football teams fell disappointing games today. Before I go to my guest, I'm going to give you my second hint for the contest. There are three Yankees on this list, one New York Ranger and one New York Knick. Only one of these players is currently playing on his respective New York team, and that's Derek Jeter. So There's three Yankees, one's Jeter, you know that, one Ranger, one Nick, and so outside of Jeter, not one of them is still playing on the New York team. Two of them, I'll even go a little further, two of them are retired, and two of them are on other teams in their respective leagues. So now we go to RantSports.com's New York Jets writer, Luis Torrado Jr. Luis, how are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good, Luis, and, you know, this Jets game tonight, I mean, where to start? Have you ever seen something like this, what happened with this timeout fiasco?
I've never seen anything like that. It was so much confusion on the part of all the Jets involved that even the fans were amazed that something like that could happen.
Only the Jets. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Only the Jets, Luis.
Did you know Only the Jets is trending right now on Twitter?
I did see that, and I'm not. That doesn't surprise me even the slightest. That and what about same old Jets? Is that trending?
Yeah, not yet. I'm sure once it all hits the papers and Twitter and everything tomorrow morning, it'll be all over the world, bro.
Oh, man. Those are the two things I thought of when I was watching it. Overall, though, I mean, they played a good game, only falling 31-24 to the Packers at Lambeau Field. So overall, do you come away from this game feeling good, bad, or neutral about this team?
Well, I don't know what happened with the running game. It was non-existent. I was expecting like a heavy dosage of the ground and pound that worked last week when the Seahawks took the Packers to town. Pretty much like Geno Smith had probably one of the best first half I've ever seen up until the interception, but then it all went downhill. They had the game. They just had to get out of their hands.
What was more concerning, in your opinion, the offense falling out of rhythm and their inability to get it back, or the defense getting lit up after the first quarter?
I think it was the defense. The fact that, like, I can't believe, like, a Jet got ejected for pretty much throwing a punch. And not only any Jet, but, like, probably one of the best defensive linemen that we have. Once he got ejected,
probably the best player on the team.
Yeah, you got to keep your cool. Like, I get it, you know, like, you know, you want to go with emotion and you're on the road. But, you know, if he would have been in there, it would have been a whole different ballgame. But I'm more concerned with the defense because Aaron Rodgers torched their secondary like I anticipated. They made Jordan Nelson like a superstar for no reason when, you know, everybody was hyping up Milliner and it just didn't come into fruition the way that everybody envisioned it before this game.
Now, Luis, what's your take on D. Milliner? Because everyone I know from what I've heard and I heard, and before I came on, I was listening to Jake Brown, who was on from 8 to 9, and he was destroying D. Milliner. And, you know, to me, I just think it's a little unfair. I think he looked like he wasn't healthy, and he was playing despite not being even anywhere close to 100%. What's your take on that? Do you think you can chalk it up as he was hurt, or was he just really bad because he's maybe not that good?
Well, you got to factor in he's about 4 weeks away from, like, playing. He's rusty. So he was out for about 4 weeks with the high ankle sprain that he got during preseason. So figure he got rushed back into the lineup. I think the Jets were so desperate to have anybody in their secondary that they rushed him. I think if you'd have waited like another week or two, it would have been better. But he looked rusty. He looked like he was confused. He was just not the same player that I remember from last year that ended the season really well.
Luis, coming off a loss like this, it's always interesting to see how teams bounce back. You know, with Rex Ryan, he's probably going to go in there and be positive. He's going to build them all up. Talk them up. This guy played well. Like, after he watched the film, he says something positive about so many players when you're watching it live, you're thinking this guy's having a terrible game. But that's just Rex being Rex. But how do you expect this team to respond on Monday night against Chicago? Do you see a performance like they displayed in the first half or the first quarter and half the second quarter? Or do you see maybe somewhere in between? Or do you see something like the second half?
I think it's a combination of everything. I look at the fact that if you look at the exact game, the way that it went, the tempo from the beginning up until, like, the meltdown, they had the Packers beat. They were playing some solid fundamental football up until the ground and pound went out the window. The defense started giving up all these huge plays. I mean, an 80-yard bomb, that's inexcusable. I think Rex will spin it. He'll make it positive and kind of hit them on the hand a little bit and get them ready to hopefully beat the Bears in the primetime game against the Bears. I really think they could do it as long as they kind of take the positives and just kind of show them that even though they did kind of lose the game, they did show that they can actually keep up with one of the better teams in the NFL.
Oh, I agree. I was impressed for the most part. They went into Lambeau Field and played toe-to-toe with the Green Bay Packers. I think overall, you got to, as a Jet fan, you got to be happy with most of the things that you saw and just hope that they chalk this up as something to learn from and that they use this as inspiration going forward and a learning experience to, that you have to play 60 minutes of football. But, you know, transitioning over to the NFL's public relations disaster this past week, I know you've written a few articles on the whole Ray Rice situation. How would you describe the NFL's image at this point after everything that has gone down this past week?
Well, at the current moment, it went from extremely bad to a whole lot worse, considering the whole thing that happened with Adrian Peterson and now the new charges that it's kind of sketchy at the moment. Like last I heard, I mean, he was deactivated for the game this weekend, and it's expected that the Vikings are going to announce something on Monday as to what's going to happen. I think the NFL has to kind of take a step back and understand that this is extremely severe for their image if they don't come down with a whole new law or a whole new rule on how to handle these cases of domestic violence and, in Peterson's case, the whole child abuse situation. I think they can redeem themselves as long as they have one press conference and just air everything out, admit that they did make a mistake with the whole Ray Rice situation, and that they're going to take, you know, the right accountability for both him and Adrian Peterson.
Now, I saw one of your articles that you wrote and posted on RantSports.com about Goodell and reasons why he should resign. Do you wish to get in? Can you like at least highlight some of the main points that you wrote in that article?
Yeah, basically, I looked at the entire situation from the beginning to end. It looks like the fact that the negligence of a multi-billion-dollar industry, if you look at it, I mean, I love baseball, I love football, but there's nothing bigger in this country than the National Football League. How is it that a company that makes billions of dollars off of revenue from TV sponsorships and all those things, and they couldn't get a video that TMZ.com was able to get easily? So it kind of shows me that Goodell needed to be more on top of situations like that. I think he kind of blew it over. He didn't really think it would be as big as it is now. And it's such a firestorm now for him to kind of backtrack and fix it that he really has to come out the gates and kind of establish that they messed up and he needs to fix it. If something doesn't happen within the next week or so, I could definitely see him either, you know, resigning. I don't think the owners will fire him, but I think it might be a little too much for him to handle if nothing happens swiftly.
Your best guess, will Adrian Peterson play again this season?
No. I think it's one of those things where he did it at the absolute worst time with the whole Ray Rice situation. I predict that the Vikings are going to release him. I also predict that Goodell will probably suspend him indefinitely until they get all the facts and kind of learn from the Ray Rice situation. It's very unfortunate. I love Adrian Peterson, but situations like that, if you don't take care of it, you're going to get all these protesters and all these groups are going to come in. It's not good for the NFL to kind of not take care of this now.
Well, that's a good point, Luis. I mean, if this is, you know, if he does this, you know, if the Ray Rice thing didn't happen, it probably is a little bit of a different situation. But you know, I'm really surprised. You think the Vikings are going to actually cut him?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm really surprised about that because I mean, look, the Ray Rice thing. Of course, the Ravens are going to cut him given the whole situation. He's a very good player. He's a declining player, and he's not the star that Adrian Peterson is, who is the primary source of offense for the Vikings. But that's interesting. I guess when it comes down to is how is it win at all costs, or is it at some point do you say we want to win with integrity? And I guess if they cut Adrian Peterson, they're choosing integrity, right?
Yeah, it's integrity. It's also to prove a point that something like that should never ever be tolerated, because domestic violence against women and especially child abuse, those are two extremely sensitive topics that should have nothing to do with football. If you made that mistake, you have to be held accountable and suffer the consequences for doing that, because at the end of the day, if you look at all the stadiums, you look at all the games that you see on television every Sunday night, Monday night, you see children in the stands.
Yep.
I guarantee you there are plenty of children in Minnesota and across the country, hell, across the world, that have Adrian Peterson jerseys. How do you think they still know that he was caught or there's pictures of a child that he abused or whatever? That's not a good look to have. And I think when the Vikings take everything into consideration, it's best to kind of cut him and move forward.
All right, Luis. Before I let you go, you want to inform the audience of where they can find your work?
Sure, thank you. Basically, I'm my buddy said, I'm a RantSports.com New York Jets sports writer. I cover everything from the Jets. I also cover many of the hot topics, like you guys said, with the whole Ray Rice situation and Roger Goodell. You can just find me at RantSports.com. at the New York Jets section. I'm also on Twitter at LTJ81. Once again, at LTJ81.
All right. Thanks, Luis, for giving a few minutes here.
Thank you very much, guys. It was a pleasure. Have a good night.
You too. So that was RantSports.com's New York Jets writer Luis Torrado Jr. And yes, I keep saying that because due to his contract, he has to be introduced and mentioned like that on the air with his contract with Rant Sports. So I was surprised by his opinion on Adrian Peterson. I was not thinking that it was going to get to that point where the Vikings would actually release him because he is such a mega star in this league and for the Vikings. But I thought that was interesting. Remember the phone line 631-888-8811. I'm now going to give my next hint, which is my final hint. Jeter is the only one currently playing on the New York team, which I said before. The two other Yankees are retired, and one of them was part of the core four, while the other played a major role in the 90s run and the early 2000s teams. One was a pitcher, one was an outfielder. Both the New York Knicks and the New York Rangers are active, just not currently on the New York team. So I think that should help you out a lot here. Also, I forgot to mention the second half of tonight's Sports Talk 1240 program is sponsored by the law firm of Stephen H. Sewell, P.C. Looking for a law firm you could trust? The law firm of Stephen H. Sewell, P.C. is an individualized personal service at reasonable fees. Call them at 516-997-0400 and ask for Steve or email them at stephen@sewellpc.com. And don't forget to mention that Andrew from Sports Talk 1240 sent you. We go to the phone now. It's Steven from New Jersey.
Yes, your biggest fan. So I'm going to announce on the radio that I'm your father.
Yes.
So we'll get that out. Yeah. I think I have the answer to the quiz.
I have to get approval from my producer here. Brian, just give me a nod if you think, or just say yes. If can my dad actually play this game?
I don't know. He sounds like a ringer.
You know what? I see. I'm actually not sure, but you know what? Dad, first of all, give us your top five, and I'll think about it.
Now, the first two were very easy. After that, it gets hard because there's like 20 guys you want to pick. But I'm going to give you the five I think I would put down. So number one, as you know, is Mickey Mantle.
Of course.
And number two, as you know, is Mark Messier.
Of course.
And then it got really difficult. But I'm going to go with Thurman Munson, the great Yankee captain and catcher.
Okay.
And if I pick Munson, I have to pick Greg Nettles, because they go hand in hand.
Of course.
And then for number five, I think I'm going to go with former Ranger Don Maloney.
Don Maloney. All right. All right. Interesting. Dad, is there anything you want to talk about with today's football games? The Rams won. My dad is shamelessly a St. Louis Rams fan. Anything you want to talk about with the Jets-Giants, though, Dad?
I actually watched the Jet game while I was working, and I couldn't believe what happened to them. An assistant coach called a timeout that he can't call, and the Jets scored a touchdown on that play. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, only the Jets.
Only the Jets. And I feel bad for all Jets fans. But I also want to say that Jordy Nelson is a terrific player.
He is. No, he really is. I know his fantasy owners, I'm one of them, are very happy with his performance this week. But, yeah, he is a very good player. But I have a feeling that being the number one target for Aaron Rodgers has a lot to do with that.
They have great chemistry together. But the Jets have a pretty good team, I must say.
Okay, so Dad, I'm gonna let you guess. I'm gonna really hope you don't get it though, so it doesn't look suspicious. But give me your guess.
Now your hints did help a bit. This is what Derek Jeter, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember when you were very young, you were a big Bernie Williams fan.
Yes.
Okay. Henrik Lundqvist.
Nope. You're wrong. And I'm really happy that you're wrong. Dad, I did say that the Ranger and the Knick were no longer on the team. So,
and then it's Yager.
No, okay. You, first of all, you're out of guesses. You already lost.
Okay.
Yeah. But thank you for the call, Dad.
All right, I'll speak to you later.
I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye now.
Yeah, so before you call up, I would suggest that you try to listen to the hints a little bit better. I know my dad's at work right now. But once again, there's three Yankees, one Ranger, and one Nick. One of the Yankees, yes, is Derek Jeter. One of them is Bernie Williams. The other Yankees, a pitcher, not on them currently retired, was part of the core four. I'm pretty much giving the answer away for that one. There's a Ranger and there's a Nick. Both of them are actively playing in the leagues, but not on their specific teams. Remember the phone number, 631-888-8811. We're down to 10 minutes. If you want to win a Sports Talk 1240 t-shirt, you got to call up now and win this contest. Or I don't know. You know, I actually didn't have a backup plan, Brian, for what I'm going to do if no one gets it. I was assuming that someone will get it. I guess Brian, the producer, is going to get it. But so those were good guesses. But back to football in the meantime. The New York Jets lose today. They're 1-1 on the season. And at this point, they now welcome Chicago in on Monday night to MetLife Stadium. A very winnable game. Right now, and now you have to understand also Chicago is without Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall. Who knows if they'll be available next week, but this week they're out. So a winnable game. Then you have Detroit, and then you have Detroit at MetLife Stadium. Also, Detroit, as you saw against the Giants last week, and you saw they lost today to Carolina. A very good team, Carolina, by the way. A great defense, but Drew Stafford, Calvin Johnson. With this Jets secondary right now, that's a scary thought. And Jay Cutler can throw the ball. The problem is, in today's NFL, you need a good secondary because it's a passing league. So it's so hard to play defense and to beat a team that's going to be throwing the ball down the field and continue to slice and dice your secondary up. We have a call, someone on the line. It's Alex from Boston. Alex, how are you doing?
Good, man. How about you?
Good, considering the Jets' loss. The thing about the Jets is it's a game that, yes, you don't really expect them to win. Heck, I mean, in my pick'em pool, my office football pool, I picked the Packers. But, you know, they were right there, a 21-3 lead, and it's just so unfortunate that they could not put it away. But, Alex, I saw you're calling from Boston. Do you happen to have a top five favorite all-time New York athletes, or do you want to skip that part?
Jeremy Lin.
Of course. Jeremy Lin.
Mark Sanchez.
You're alone on that one. No one would say Mark Sanchez.
Well, I'm a diehard New England fan, so Mark Sanchez definitely helped us out a few times over the years while he was there. So,
okay.
I like Mark. But, yeah, as far as New York athletes go, I can't really say I have.
Well, I can finish that for you. Everyone that's ever played for the Jets and anyone that's and maybe Tom Gordon, yeah.
Exactly.
Johnny Damon. There you go.
Johnny Damon. Yeah, I hate that guy. But I think I have the guesses for your top five.
Okay.
All right. Jeter.
Yeah.
Said. Bernie Williams.
Yes.
Is the pitcher Andy Pettit?
Yes.
And then the Ranger is Ryan Callahan.
Yes.
And then Nick is David Lee.
You got it. There it is.
I guess I won.
Alex from Boston, you have won the contest. You're going to be getting a Sports Talk 1240 t-shirt. And by the way, these shirts are going to be really nice. You're going to be wanting to wear it every single day.
Awesome. Sounds great.
And you're going to be promoting the station and the show, which is great for all parties. But if you could hang back, and my producer Brian will get your information, and we'll be able to send you that shirt.
Sounds great.
Thank you for the call, Alex.
No problem.
So I have John from Smithtown on the line. John, you're on Sports Talk 1240.
Hello.
Hi, John.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I want to talk about the Jets.
Yes. What's going on what's going on? What do you want to talk about the Jets?
No, it's a two. First half, second half. First half, they look like a playoff team. Second half, they looked horrible. The coach's staff a D.
First half, they looked like a Super Bowl team. Second half, they looked like an 0-16 team.
Yeah, and I picked them to have 10 wins this year myself. So, I don't know. I think the coaching staff, with you know, some of the play calls, I'm giving him a C-minus on that. I don't know what happened with that timeout. Look, Rex Ryan was standing there like he was scratching his head. He's the head coach. I don't know why he doesn't step up. And she did something about that, but that was ridiculous.
You know, I think 10 wins, I think the Jets are actually talent-wise, and I think Rex Ryan is actually a good coach, at least in terms of his scheme, yeah. Defensive scheme.
But 10 wins isn't a far fetch with that team, because the second half, they're very winnable games. The next four, Chicago, they can win. Detroit is a winnable game. San Diego and Denver, possibly. I think they're going to lose probably both of those games because San Diego's got a good D, and then they have a pretty easy, you know, they get to play the Patriots twice, Buffalo. Who knows what you're going to get with Miami? You know.
Well, yeah. I mean, John, you said it perfectly. The question is, because they have a lot of winnable games in the second half. At what point or what record do they have to have through those first seven or eight games?
Right. That's what it is. It's I mean, if you get, you definitely could beat Chicago. Chicago's definitely a winnable team, like I said. But then you got, you know, like, it's second half. I think they could go on a run, and I think they have Minnesota in that run. They're very beatable teams.
Yeah, John. I mean, I look at it right now. If they can, which they have Chicago, Detroit home, in San Diego, home against Denver, and then in New England. That's 3, 4, 5 games right there. If they can win two of those games and go 2-3 and be, which would put them on the season, what, 3-4 or 7 games?
Right.
Yeah, and then so 3-4 through 7 games, then they have the Bills, Chiefs, Steelers, Bills, Dolphins, Vikings, Titans, Patriots at home, and then Dolphins. If they can,
all of them are very winnable games.
Yeah, exactly. If they can be 3-4 through 7 games, they will be in terrific position.
It would have been great, the Steelers game today. They had an opportunity for this one. I mean, even before, I mean, I don't know why they stopped running the ball. They could have kept on running the ball, but
They did give up on the running game a little bit.
Yeah, they, you know, Chris Johnson, he's, you know, to me, he's the next best running back they have on their team next to Curtis Martin. Curtis Martin was on that team. And, I mean, look, the guy's 1,000 yards every year, guaranteed, put in the books, you know, 1,000 a year. And they gave up on it. I don't know why. You know, Ivory's a good runner. Powell, you know, and I just, you know, I don't know why they stopped doing that. I give the coaching staff a C minus on that whole deal.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. I feel your pain. Hey, John, do you want to give me your top five all time favorite New York athletes real quickly?
Sure thing. Johnny Tavares, baby.
I love that.
Mike Bossy.
Okay.
David Wright.
Yeah.
Curtis Martin. And I know I could tell. I was listening to the show. You're a big Derek Jeter. I like Derek myself, but I have to go with Gary Carter.
Well, you're a Mets fan, right? You're not a Yankees fan.
I'm a Mets fan.
Of course. Well, I mean, that's understandable. I mean, I think even Mets fans respect Jeter, but you're not going to have that same admiration for him.
Well, you know what's good about Jeter? He's like he's a good face for baseball. He's a good guy. He never got in trouble in the 20 years he's in, like some of these other guys. And he's a good role model. I mean, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. It's hard to not like Jeter.
I agree, John, and I appreciate your call. Thank you.
Yeah, you've been great. Great show.
Thank you.
Yeah, right.
Have a good night, John. We're going to go quickly. We're running out of time. We're going to go quickly to Jim in Pennsylvania. Jim, you're on Sports Talk 1240.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, Jim. How you doing?
Good. I'm just trying to get your take on the 3 Amigos from the Phillies. They were going to be around next year.
Wait, sorry, I missed that. What was that?
No, I just wanted to see your opinion on the three veterans from the Phillies and see if you think they're going to be around next year, because I'd like to see Ryan out of here. But I don't know what they're going to do with
them. The three veterans, as in Howard, Rollins, and Utley?
Yep.
I don't know. I know they want to get rid of Ryan Howard. I don't know exactly how they're going to be able to do it. Utley, I mean, I would assume that they would be okay with keeping Utley. If they want to trade him, I'm sure he has a lot of trade value. Utley is still a very good player. Jimmy Rollins seems to be set on ending his career with the Phillies. I know Phillies fans want him out, but it seems at this point that Rollins is going to be a Philly until the end.
Yeah, well, I think out of the three, Utley's the best. I mean, he's
without a question at this point
in leadership and his defensive skills. But I know he's got high RBIs, but he just, you know, I think we need to get somebody young in. And you think they just would let him go?
I don't know. I mean,
need the salary.
It's really hard to get to read the Phillies because the Phillies don't do anything that makes sense. They don't. They don't. They don't manage and operate their baseball team in a logical and rational way. I mean, why did they do they not sell at the deadline this year? Why have they not sold at the deadline in the last couple of years? It doesn't make sense. And I think
why have they kept the GM? That's
exactly, and that's the biggest one. As long as Ruben Amaro Jr. is there, they're going to make questionable decisions and kind of sit on their hands and just waiting and hoping that Ryan Howard, guys like Ryan Howard and Jimmy Rollins resurrect their career, but it's not happening. And until Ruben Amaro Jr. is out, the Phillies are going to be in that situation.
Well, that's how Phillies can install a new outlook on the team.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for your call tonight.
Can I take your
Jim, we're going to have to let you go. We're actually out of time. I'm really sorry for that. I do appreciate your call, though. A few special thank yous go out to Luis Torrado Jr. from RantSports.com. He writes for the New York Jets. For spending a few minutes with us, my engineer, producer, Brian Gray is on the other side of the glass for pushing all the right buttons once again. The director of Sports Talk 1240, Rob Cowell, and to you, my listeners, callers, congratulations to Alex from Boston for winning the contest. For Andrew Joseph and Sports Talk 1240, have a great night.
Views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.